From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Indeed, it is time for From the Crate, and I'm here with Troy.
No, you're not.
Just Troy and I today. No Mike.
How are you?
Good, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to have you back after your being ill last week.
Was I ill?
I think you. Well, you weren't here.
Oh, maybe I just forgot to come in.
Yeah, maybe.
No,
maybe.
I don't know. All right, so what do you want to do today?
Because, okay, well, I've got Oliver Arnold.
Who do you know this guy?
No, I'm not familiar with his stuff.
Okay. In fact, you might be familiar and not know. Did you watch? You watched the TV show Broadchurch?
Yeah.
Okay. The music in Broadchurch. Oliver Arnold.
Oh, all of it.
All of it.
Wow.
So he's a young man he's a composer from Iceland, and he's been putting out records since he was 17 years old.
Wow.
He hasn't, and you think, it must be ages ago. It's not. It's only like 10 or 11 years ago. He's a young guy.
Wow.
He hasn't put out a full album in 5 years. Do you think he ran out of ideas? No.
No way.
He had this really interesting idea for this one. Him and a friend of his, they developed this software called Stratus. Now, he developed it as a compositional tool in that, do you know what a player piano is? A player piano is basically a piano that if its information is fed to somehow. In the old days, it was like a roll with holes in it, and it would go in there, and the piano would play. Right, you would pump on pedals or whatever. Anyway, player piano now is basically it can be remotely controlled by something, and it'll play itself. Right.
Wow.
So, compositional tool for the new album from Oliver Arnold's Remember. What he did was he has two player pianos set up with the software called Stratus.
Wow.
So he would play something and the pianos would respond to what he was playing. Like, let's say he played a group of five notes. They would respond with, let's say, a group of three different notes. And they were both doing something different. Now, you could think that he could basically just have recorded that and it would be like cool happenstance kind of thing. What he did then was he took what the other pianos were playing and either integrated it into the composition or used that as the basis for the arrangements he did for a string orchestra.
Oh, my God.
So it's kind of, you know, it was a really interesting. The other interesting thing is I don't know much about this program Stratus, but I'm going to hold the cover up here. The cover was also developed by that program. The program designed the cover for it.
So the cover is basically navy, and it's got I'm not even sure what they are. They're like little white dots, but they look like scratches, kind of.
Kind of. Now that was designed by the same program. Minimalism is a funny thing when it comes to Mr. Arnold's being, you know, doing a, you know, modern sort of approachable classical music is quite often minimal.
Yeah.
And he has been sort of minimalist in what he does, but in a way that you think minimal might mean simple.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of simple in a way, but that sort of simplicity in classical is much harder than when you fill it with a lot of notes.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm not an expert. But
so off the album, we're playing track 5?
I think we will.
Yeah, Inconsistent, I think it is.
Yeah, put it on now. Now, we could have played the first track, which is probably the best demonstration of how the Stratus might have informed his writing. But I particularly like this one. Now,
Why do you find the first track best informative? Just the sounds?
Because because the way the track's structured, it starts off with like it starts off slow and very spare, and then builds on the way through, and you can kind of relate that in your head to how he might have composed it. He's been on Erase Tapes up till now. I don't know why he's moved. He's moved to it's a part of Universal. I don't know what the record company's called. Mercury KX, which I think deals with like soundtracks and modern classical and things. But on Erase Tapes last year, he reissued his first album that he'd written at the age of 16.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and if you heard it, you'd be stunned.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a million miles from what you're hearing now. But if you listen now,
thank you.
You might be able to hear something in the key in the notes, which are responding to other notes in an unusual sort of way.
It's really nice, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you wouldn't even say this is the best track on the album, would you?
I actually wouldn't. I'd say it's a good one, but it's not.
It's not the one that.
It's probably not the one which will grab everybody, but nonetheless, I think it's quite a nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
What's it called? Inconsist.
Inconsistent. Inconsist. Yeah.
Inconsist.
Inconsist.
The singles which have come off the album so far are the first three tracks. The second one features the songwriter and producer Son, S-O-H-N, from London.
Yeah.
Not singing words, singing tones, which is cool as well.
That is really cool.
What would possibly separate this from other work that Mr. Arnold has done in the past? I think this is probably the one where he's leaned further towards weirdly enough, kind of hip-hop beats.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say that the beat underneath I wasn't entirely expecting.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Broadchurch and that soundtrack, I wasn't really expecting that beat underneath.
Well, it's not what you'd usually get on an Oliver Arnold's record, but like as I said, he's like 28 years old.
Yeah.
He was brought up on hardcore punk and hip-hop, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So... And he said, I think that separates it. And the other thing is that it's way more, I don't want to say positive vibes, but, you know, it's
definitely uplifting in a sense.
And, you know, if you think of, like, Broadchurch or other work that he's done, then it is kind of, like, emotional and kind of bleak sounding.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have picked a sound like this to come out of what you described initially.
But you also didn't think the composer was going to be a guy under 30 from Iceland, did you?
No, you wouldn't pick that, no.
So this is fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm really, really happy that there's another record from him. And it's
so when did that one come out?
I think it came out the first week of September. It only arrived with us yesterday. So.
Oh, wow, cool. So fresh and...
Brand new.
Fresh into the crate.
I wonder why the program designed a sleeve to look like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, but... Remember is a... Go on.
It's quite weird to think of a program designing that. I'm not quite sure how that would have come out.
No.
I think it's quite strange.
Now, it's called Remember, not like remember, but he describes Remember as... like the opposite of dismember.
Yeah.
So if something coming together again. But there
that
you
makes
go.
Sense.
You like that?
Yeah, no, I love that. That was great.
Excellent.
Next I have in here is the Beta Band.
The Beta Band.
Beta Band.
Now, some people who would have seen... People who haven't heard the Beta Band before would possibly have heard them and heard of them via that movie High Fidelity. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, our record shop is nothing like that record shop. We're not rude to customers. We don't want to not... Anyway, in that movie, one of the characters says, "Watch me sell 5 copies of the 3 Ps by the Beta Band," and puts on the song Dry the Rain. Now, 20th anniversary.
Wow, that's a big record.
Yes.
It's chunky.
Because what it is, of course, the 3 EPs.
Oh, wow.
Now, the 3 EPs came out all in... I mean, the compilation of those 3 EPs came out in 1998, I think.
Wow.
And it basically represented what they'd done in the previous year. There's Champion Sounds, which is a single piece of vinyl. There's the Patty Patty Sound, which is a double... EP, like a double piece, 2 pieces of vinyl, which lasts about 45 minutes from memory. What's the final EP called?
Los Amigos del Beta Bandidos.
That's probably not how you pronounce it, but yes, that's exactly what the last EP is called. This is a group that they were from Scotland. In fact, I think somewhere called St. Andrews in Scotland. Or am I thinking of a venue in Detroit? I think it's St. Andrews in Scotland. And they lasted pretty much 6 years. They did 2 or 3 albums.
Yeah.
And they were really odd in that they were kind of like a very accessible experimental group, or they played with kind of trip-hop beats, but yep. sort of a folky sound. It's like they were a very strange band that didn't fit into anything at the time, but nonetheless, people were into it. People yeah. Even here, I remember on BFM, the Beta Band were pretty big.
Yeah.
And anyway, so this is the first time that the three EPs has come out as vinyl, and it's done as this massive thing. Should you not want to buy that and just think, I like the Beta Band, but I don't know if I just like the 3EP stuff.
Yeah,
I
brought it's quite a big...
It's amazing. It's like a massive box set
thing to be buying.
This comes out at the same time. Now, that's not the 3EPs.
Okay, cool.
That's a best of.
And that's a CD, this one.
That's a double CD. That one's like the a best of the Beta Band and a live show. It's like they've expanded an old compilation to double
live
the size.
Live at the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Which is a great place.
Yeah, that is,
But so these are the first two things of this extensive reissue campaign of the Beta Band. They're reissuing everything on vinyl, all before the end of the year. And these first things come out worldwide tomorrow.
Should we play the track that we've got in here?
Yeah.
BNA.
Yeah, put it on.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't the obvious one to choose. There was plenty of ones that I could have chosen that people go,
what else were you tossing up between?
Well, Dry the Rain is the one that introduced most people. That and BNA are both on Champion Sounds.
Champion Versions. Yeah.
Champion Versions, yep. I'm sorry. Yep. Champion Sounds is a reggae record. Actually, there's so many I could have chosen, but what I particularly liked about this one is it was so completely out of its time, yet completely in its time.
I feel like this is the kind of record you'll pick up if you're a true fan. Like, you're not a true fan unless you pick up this record.
I think you're probably right. Like, when the 3EPs came out, it only came out on CD because that's what was happening at the time, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure true fans back then would have gone, well, you know, you've got the CD, but I managed to get one of the 500 LP, you know.
20th anniversary.
Oh, there's only 5,000 worldwide as well. That thing you're looking at down the bottom?
It says down here 3,990 of 5,000. So you even know what number you're getting.
Yeah, you do.
That's great. And the cover's cool too. It's a black and white picture with a doggo on the front.
That's exactly right. But see those three things at the top?
Yeah.
Those are all elements of the covers of the EPs themselves.
Yeah, I figured that must be. So it's got an animated picture of a tiger, a bomb, and a star?
It's a star, I think, yeah.
Star, yeah.
But I like the dog.
On the front?
Yeah, look at
the photograph. And it's in sort of like a...
He's in the snow, isn't he?
Snowy landscape.
Look who's on the back.
Cute. Yeah, hey. And then on the back we've got bees and elephants and mountains and deserts and roads.
What do you think to this?
Yeah, it's good.
Here's the bit I like now. When that backwards soul drumming comes in. Now, for the most part, the Beta Band were a vocal group who made songs. Kind of weird, psychedelic, folky, poppy things.
Mixed jobs.
Yeah. But this one sounds real good to me. After all this time. Oh, also they're all coloured.
Oh, cool.
It's all different coloured vinyl. Each of the 3EPs has its own colour. I haven't opened one, so I don't know what they all are.
Oh, so surprise. So if you're going to pick up that triple record.
Quadruple.
Quadruple record.
Yeah, because the second EP is two.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you can get a nice surprise, nice colourful surprise.
And there's a CD included in it as well.
Oh, wow.
And... All the original cover artwork is in there too, so they're all in separate sleeves inside this box. That's a cool thing, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's a very special little package.
Yeah.
To pick up.
How do you like this bit?
Love this.
I think you would have too. Yeah. To put it in context, remember this is around the time when, you know, there was the Chemical Brothers had got big. It would have been just after the third Oasis LP, Bittersweet Symphony had come out just the year before. So that's sort of what was happening in British music at the time. And then you had this.
It definitely kind of fits into that, I think.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Different, but also elements of similarity.
It sounds so unproduced.
Mm.
Well, of course, that's not true. I mean, it is produced, but comparatively to other things at the time, it sounds raggedy and kind of weird. All right.
What's that next one you got there? That's quite a cover art.
It is some cover art. Now, this is a soundtrack to a documentary, which has come out now, entitled The Man from Mowax. Now, The Man from Mowax is James Lavelle. And this documentary, I haven't watched it. I'll say that straight up. And what I've gleaned about the documentary, I came to from listening to and reading interviews with James Lavelle, who's not depicted in the most flattering light throughout the film. When he was 18, he started the Mowax label. And by the mid-1990s, he had like sort of cracked it and released DJ Shadow's Introducing LP. Yep. And he got to be very good friends with DJ Shadow, and then they formed the group Uncle together, and then fell out spectacularly.
Yeah.
Right, so the trajectory of this film is like most of those sort of films, is the rise, the highs, the crash. Oh no, what's happened now? But
falling apart, yeah.
But so it's not really a documentary about Mowax. It's not really a documentary about James Lavelle.
Right.
It's sort of... And it's not just about him falling out with people, although there is a great deal of him falling out with people in it. But the two central characters really in it are DJ Shadow, who is from California, and James Lavelle, who's from London.
Yeah.
The soundtrack itself, tell me what you think, just scanning through what's on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's got quite a very... artist lineup. We've got Queens of the Stone Age, and then there's a couple of tracks from Uncle...
Yep.
From before they fell out, DJ Shadow and RPM, and
The Queens of the Stone Age thing is there. Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age did vocals on an Uncle record. Tom York did vocals on an Uncle record. You know,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. And then it goes right back to Attica Blues, which was one of the first records that Mowax put out, which was kind of a it was of that sort of acid jazz type London thing, where it was a sort of retro soul pulled into a modern day dance floor type thing.
So this is all music from the film.
It's from the film, but it's also music from the label or from people who were associated with James LaValle.
Part of the story, yeah.
Yeah. Put on the tune.
You got an organ going there. No wonder the sound has so much body.
Okay, now this is a remix done at the time of a tune from DJ Shadow's Introducing.
Yeah.
And I thought we'd play this one because...
This is organ donor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the organ sample, what that sample's from is Giorgio Moroder. Sort of chopped up. You familiar with this DJ Shadow record?
Yeah, I am.
Turntable and MPC.
I'm not familiar with the story of Uncle.
Then probably you're just the sort of person who this film is aimed at.
Yeah, exactly. The rise and fall.
So this would have been 1997 as well, this tune.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how Moroder played it in the first place. I think it's... There you go. Who else on here is my favourite on there? Dr. Octagon and Blue Flowers.
Cookie. That's your favorite track on the record?
On this whole thing. The other thing I really like is this tune by The Wild Bunch, Friends and Countrymen. The Wild Bunch turned into Massive Attack. Wild Bunch was what they were in the mid to late 80s. Blackalicious is on there. The Funk Mob are on here. You didn't say about this bit.
It's the double LP, limited edition, coloured vinyl. Yeah. Do you know what colour these ones are?
Yes, I do know.
I've opened one up already.
Yes, one record is red and one is blue.
Yeah. You can pick that from the cover art.
Cover art there being, of course, Shadow and LaValle.
And then on the back it's got...
A lot of collaborators. Yeah. Who's that? That's 3D from Massive Attack. Ian Brown, Stone Roses. You know who that one is? Tom York from Radiohead. That's the...
It's quite hard to see, kind of.
Oh, is it? It's because I'm holding it far away, so you can't see proper. Next one along is that Josh out of Queens of the Stone Age. And I can't remember who's the last one. I don't know who the last guy is.
It's quite hard to tell. They're illustrations, not actual photographs.
Correct, yes.
Kind of looks like a comic book or something.
Yes, it does. I wonder if it says who
Someone said amazing artists, but depressing movie.
All right, so...
So there you go.
Then it is the rise and terrible fall.
And maybe there's no after the fall. That's kind of how...
I guess so. I'll tell you what, the only personal contact I ever had with James LaValle, I found him really, really nice. And at the time, I was driving at one of the big day outs. Oh. And my job was I would drive people from the backstage area around to whatever stage they were on or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, James LaValle had been given a gift from his record company, a Welcome to New Zealand thing. They had a bunch of New Zealandish stuff in there, like pineapple lumps and that. And he was super interested in talking about Vegemite. So I talked to him for about 15 to 20 minutes about the differences between Vegemite and Marmite. And in my mind, that made him a good guy.
I mean, fair enough. I feel like that kind of makes sense. Yeah. And so these records, you can pick up from Southbound.
I'll tell you what's on the shelf. That's on the shelf.
Yep.
Which is The Man from Mowax, yep. Double soundtrack. This is on the shelf, Olafur Arnold's Remember. Yep. And this is supposed to be on the shelf tomorrow, but cool. If someone was really desperate, I might be able to do something. Ooh. The Beta Band with the three EPs. Also, that Beta Band, you can get CD. The CD double thing cool. if you want that.
Well, thank you very much, Troy.
Thank
I
you,
Tess. I look forward to next week.
Do you?
Yep, I do. I'm very excited.
Oh, I could tell you, but I'm not going to.
No, keep it a secret.
All right. Thank you.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.